Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Was Patricia Hearst coerced into a life of crime? Or did she act on her own volition? This is what the courts will have to decide. U.S. District Court Judge Oliver Carter says of Miss Hearst and of her companions that during the past year and a half, they announced to the world their revolution against our system. They've said it loud and clear and punctuated it with gunfire. The capture of Miss Hearst may have brought to an end the long and bizarre manhunt for a fugitive, but does not explain the change that came over the daughter of one of our noted newspaper executives. Though she at one time called her parents fascist pigs, there was a willingness on their part to love and forgive their daughter's rebellion. The night Patricia was abducted from her apartment, she was living with her fiancé while attending the University of California at Berkeley. In Isaiah, we find the prophet writing concerning those who reject God's laws. In chapter 1 and verse 2, the Lord laments the attitude of those who disobey his commandments, saying, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. When children rebel against their parents, they are really rebelling against God. For God hath given command, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother. When children rebel against society and against authorities whose job it is to enforce the laws of the land, they're also rebelling against God. The scriptures remind us, rulers, our leaders, are ministers of God for good. Whosoever therefore resisteth their authority, writes the Apostle Paul, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves condemnation. Indeed, my friends, there's a price to be paid when God's laws are broken. Again we read, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, Christians in America have voiced great concern for remarks made by the wife of the president during a television appearance in which she commented on the Supreme Court decision on abortion, calling it the best thing in the world, a great, great decision. The First Lady also has been criticized for her remarks in which she stated she would not be surprised if her 18-year-old daughter was having an affair, asserting that her children have probably all tried marijuana, and comparing such experimentation to a first beer or a first cigarette. Shocking is what one clergyman called the interview, while another said he was stunned. In Memphis, Tennessee, a Baptist pastor asserted, The wife of our president has also indirectly advocated the use of drugs and encouraged young people to experiment. I'm sure she does not advocate everyone to become a helpless drunkard or dope addict, but she's talked lightly about the first step to becoming one, even stating that she probably would have tried marijuana had it been popular when she was a girl. What about alcoholism in youth? Here's a special report by Denny Milgate.
A new public affairs pamphlet by medical authority Jewel Saltman indicates that alcohol is emerging as the number one drug of abuse used by young people. Mr. Saltman says that experimentation in drugs seems to have passed its peak. In the pamphlet entitled The New Alcoholics, Teenagers, Saltman cites factors such as lax enforcement of liquor laws and increasing personal and emotional problems as leading young people to alcohol. He says that the only effective prevention is to persuade young people either not to drink or to stop when they see that it's leading to trouble. Meanwhile, G. Aiken Taylor, editor of the Presbyterian Journal and a leading Christian authority on alcoholism, stated in a recent Christianity Today article that the church must once again take a stand on the use of alcoholic beverages. Dr. Taylor said that too many churches have relaxed their standards. Responding to Mr. Saltman's suggestion that young people stop when they see they're in trouble, Dr. Taylor says that's a dangerous attitude because once a young person reaches this point, it is probably too late.
With drug abuse on the wane, World Religious News put that question to Robert Morey, author of the recently published book, The Bible and Drug Abuse.
Drug abuse is no longer a hot topic for the mass media. You won't find discussions of drug abuse on your, let's say, your 6 o'clock evening TV news show. You won't hear much discussion on it on the radio. You won't read much about it in the paper. It won't even be found in many of your magazines. It is no longer a hot topic. There was a period of time when it was a great issue, and the mass media paid attention to it, but now we've gone on, like we have with pollution, we've gone on, of course, and thus the mass media is not paying any attention to the problem of drug abuse in our society today. It is a real issue, and it is still a real problem.
When the news of late is the story of the young girl who has been in a coma for the past 5 months, but kept alive by an artificial respirator. Her parents had sought a court order allowing the girl to die naturally and with dignity, as they put it. According to the prosecutor, the girl apparently attended a party where she consumed a combination of alcohol and tranquilizing drugs before she became unconscious. Wasn't it time we wake up to the dangers of tantalizing drugs and demon alcohol? Latest findings reported by a national news magazine reveal half the high school students drink regularly, and that 5% of these students get drunk once a week. Well, drugs, too, continue to be a problem. A new government study shows the number of heroin users has more than doubled during the past 6 years. U.S. Representative Don Edwards of California cites a 35% increase in narcotics-related deaths in the United States from 1969 to 1974. He warns that if the trend continues, the United States will have 1.5 million addicts by 1980, 3 million by 1985. When is our youth who are more vulnerable to these temptations? They not only need to be warned of the hazards of alcoholism and addiction, but shown a better way of life. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. What is more harmful, drugs which dull the mind and damage the brain, or alcohol which numbs and even destroys cells while having a toxic effect on the heart and liver and other parts of the body? Would it not be better to live a clean, pure life, and through the gift that comes from receiving Christ, have the knowledge that we shall live forever? When President Harrison was still a general, another comrade drank a toast to his health. Harrison replied by drinking a toast of water. Another rose to his feet and said, "General, will you favor me by drinking a glass of wine?" Harrison asked to be excused. But being asked again to join in an alcoholic beverage, he rose and in a dignified manner declared, "Gentlemen, I have twice refused to partake of the wine cup. Not a drop shall pass my lips. I made a resolve when I started in life that I would avoid strong drink. That vow I have never broken. I'm one of a class of 17 young men who graduated at college together. The other 16 members of my class now fill drunkards' graves, all from the pernicious habit of wine drinking. I owe all my health, my happiness, my prosperity to that resolution. Would you urge me to break it now?" Someone has pointed out, while it takes approximately 15 years of steady drinking for an adult to reach alcoholic addiction, it takes only about 15 months of steady drinking for a teenager to reach alcoholic addiction. My friends, it's time we listen to the scriptures which tell us wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. A late Gallup poll would remind us an estimated 95 million Americans over 18 now use alcoholic beverages. 9-year-old boy writing to an Indiana congressman said, "I'm pretty young, but I'm still old enough to know what alcohol can do for a man. I watch television a lot, and I don't see why about all the good television programs are being presented by beer and so on. There are a lot of good things to advertise that are good for people, he noted. In our world today, there are many unsatisfied thirsts. No wonder Jesus declared, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." How many today have tried every kind of narcotic, every form of alcoholic beverage, only to discover the so-called ecstasies leave only heartache and headache, hangover and remorse? If only they would try Jesus, they would discover real life, real peace, and real joy. After all, is that not what people are seeking for today? A psychologist has noted that people usually turn to alcohol because of a frustration complex, or a feeling of inferiority, or from a sense of fearfulness. All of these problems can be solved by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a living person, who comes to dwell in our hearts by His Spirit. No longer need we be lonely, fearful, and afraid, because He lives within us. And as children of God, we need no longer feel inferior. Today we have a choice to make. We can yield to the so-called glamorous life, which brings only wretchedness, or turn to Jesus Christ and discover real peace. As the Scriptures declare, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Do you want true pleasure? Then turn to Christ. Do you want happiness? Then allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life with joy, peace, and love. The choice is clear, my friends. As Paul writes, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The Spirit-filled life, the life more abundant, is yours today. If you'll yield all to Christ, let Him come in, let Him forgive you of your sins and give you real peace. Then one day when He comes again, you can be ready to meet Him and to share in the eternal glories of heaven which He's prepared for all who love Him. Life in its fullest dimension can be yours today. And so again we admonish, "Be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.